it off with the Lord many nights by my bedside. I ask His forgiveness as I knelt to pray, and if I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above, to the far distant
shore. Many friends have gone from me. They're singing
the victory of God's love I know. Through the valley of death I'll be led by Jesus. He will carry me through, though I'm weak and low. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. They'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. When that great day comes and I see heaven's glory, I know that my soul will be free from all care. He'll open the gates and bid me to enter. When the rolls call up yonder, I know I'll be there. There's a light guiding me, I can see heaven's glory, and He holds me steadfast, and His way and His love is guiding me through temptation and evil. There's a light guiding me to that heaven above. If I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. The only way you can repay Him is, thy will be done. When end of the day, that's all He can do. Lord, use us for Your glory. That's what You and I have done. That's the only way You can repay. You can't buy it. You can't pay Him with money. That's what that means. If I could repay, I'd be only too willing. For He died on the cross just to save me from sin. As I travel alone on this pilgrim way, there are heartaches and burdens to bear, but a vision of Jesus in heaven above, our cross is much lighter to bear. Not lose your vision of Jesus, Keep your eyes looking only on Him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. They lost their vision of Him. I remember the time, I remember the place when Jesus so sweetly came in. How it took all my burdens I carried so long when I first saw the vision of Him. Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes looking only on Him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. They've lost their vision of Him. Now Jesus will come and He'll take us all to a beautiful mansion so fair. But if you're not ready, He'll leave you behind. You'll reap in this life what you sow. Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes looking only on Him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. They lost their vision of Him. Now Jesus will come and He'll take us all home to a beautiful mansion so fair. But if you're not ready, He'll leave you behind. You'll reap in this life what you sow. Don't lose your vision of Jesus. Keep your eyes looking only on Him. Many friends and dear loved ones have lost their way. They've lost their vision of Him. Years I spend in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me, He died at Calvary. Mercy there was grace, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden saw from liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law and spurred, till my holy soul, Lord, I turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, and I have given Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. There my burdens of liberty at Calvary. Oh, to love the true salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God expanded at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty at Calvary. Imagine going through life and not taking advantage of salvation. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me he died. You know, millions of people, they go through life and they miss this very thing here. They never took advantage of salvation. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. It's real. But salvation is real, and there's millions. That, like the biggest deception is living in a commune and thinking when you took on the Satan's counterfeit diabolical baptism, and then you get a certain tradition and a dress code, and thinking that's your way to heaven. And people are so deceived and deluded, and they think that they don't need salvation. Mm-hmm. That's their salvation. Like that one preacher said, when you live in a colony, you don't need to be born again, you know. That's what they're convinced of, you know. That's why you can't even get the foot in the door, because they're convinced that when they go through this baptism of rigmarole, it's all instituted by Satan, that whole rigmarole, and just to keep you away from real salvation. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they're like, they go, like I say, they get to a certain age and they go through this rigmarole, and then they go down the road of life and they get married and they get old, and they're convinced that's the only way to heaven. It's not about the people, it's the leadership that got them deceived. Mm-hmm. And then we come along and we tell them where it's at, and then we're the problem.
Yeah, you know? We're the enemy then.
Yeah, we tell people the truth, and not much you can do. And here they're going down the road of life, and they miss salvation. Mm-hmm. I tell you, Satan's got that thing so wrapped up and so convincingly that you don't have a prayer. That's what I'm trying to say. If you don't look to the Lord, and
you can always know too. But what Jesus said, all that my heavenly Father has given to me will come to me.
That's the only solace you have. Mm-hmm. It's for that to go crazy. Knowing all these people, they're being deceived, and yet, like you say, there's some that his Heavenly Father has given to him. They'll come, one way or another.
Because I was on the colony, and he found me there, you know, so.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trembling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He had loosed his faithful light off his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never sound retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory, Hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
First Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. I'll try a different translation. Dear friends, do not be astonished that a trial by fire is occurring among you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in the degree that you have shared in the sufferings of Christ, so that when his glory is revealed, you may also rejoice and be glad. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, who is the Spirit of God, rests on you. That's us. We were sitting here the other day, we were discussing why we're ousted from everybody, you know, and nobody wants us, nobody wants to have nothing to do with us. When they look at us, when they see us, they think naturally, you know, like natural would be. So we were discussing it here, and then the scripture came to me. It took me a while to realize. It was the Lord giving me, answering my question, and it's in that done that song. What's the name of that song? I said, Es glänzet ein Christen.
Es glänzet der Christen in wendigsten Leben.
There's a scripture. A song. A song, Es glänzet der Christen in his Leben. And the Lord, he'll answer you if you're open to the Lord. He'll more than willing to talk to you. And as we were discussing it here, why are we locked out everywhere? You know, we tell people the truth and they lock us out. They treat us like trash. And then the scripture came here to me as I was sitting here thinking about that. Die scheinen von außen die schlechteste Leute. Like that's how people look at us. In English it says, they seem the worst people from the outside. Sie scheinen von außen die schlechtesten Leute. Ein Schauspiel der Engel, ein Ekel der Welt. And the spectacle of angels, a disgust to the world. We're a disgust to the world. That's just that simple. Simply because we're telling people the truth. Everything we say here is the truth. Just because people are brainwashed and thinking it's different when it's not, we tell people the truth, and then the devil don't like when we tell people the truth, and so he gets mad at us and he puts on the outs, tries to shut us up. Anything, they even get punished for believing us, you know. And that song, it really touched me. Und innerlich sind sie die lieblichsten Breite. And inwardly, they are the sweetest brides. Der Zierat die Krone, die Jesus gefällt. The ornament that crowns and pleases Jesus. Das Wunder der Zeit, denn die hier sich bereit, und der König, der unter den Lilien weidet, zu kissen in gildenen Stücke bekleidet. That's how God looks at us. It doesn't matter how people look at us, like I say. When they see us, they think naturally, like it says over, they're like natural brood bees. They think naturally. They think when you and I hang out together, that it's automatically because they're not born again and they see things through the eyes of a brood beast and they think naturally. They talk about things that they're completely clueless of and then they put you in the outs because it's an actual world, you know, a disgrace to this world. And here the Lord comes down and he gives me the scripture. Sie scheinen von außen die schlechtesten Leute. How God looks at people, that's what matters to you and I. We don't care what people do to us because one day we decided we're tired of this world. This world's got nothing to offer to us. We want to be about the Lord's business. There's no greater joy to get up in the morning and hear the Lord speak to, you. We're all messed up. We're all born in sin, shame, and iniquity. And we need the Lord to direct us on a day-to-day basis so that someday we'll get to the shores of glory somehow if we stay faithful and true to the end. And then, like, I guess Friday, I got up and I saw it written on the wall, Windy Bay. Well, I know of only one Windy Bay. It's just the way the Lord deals with us, you know. Just trying to be honest here, and it's exciting to work for the Lord. There's nobody I'd rather work for than the Lord, and just Windy Bay. So, well, I told you about it, and we decided, well, we'll go down there, and we'll see what the Lord has for us there. And I know that Jack, that guy in that wheelchair, he's down there, and we figured, well, we'll go down, then we'll make contact with him, and maybe visit with him a bit. That's the natural thinking of things. That's how I naturally think. Well, we called him up and he didn't want to talk to us. He didn't want to visit with us because he said he's a little under the weather. And, well, it was pretty obvious the Lord didn't want us to talk to him because he's under the weather. So, well, we drove down there anyway and we just drove through the yard. Everything up to snuff. And then we drove around and we didn't see too many people. We see this one guy walking. And then we seen a few people working on the building there, and I saw that preacher, that Lawrence, who was working on the building there. I guess he's the carpenter. And then we drove out, and then that's all the Lord wanted. Just drive down, and I'll show you something. And like I say, then we did. And here we saw that Lawrence, that preacher, he's busy contending, building this empire. You know, it's an empire. These preachers, that's their empire. And he was pretty into it, whatever he was doing, working on the side of the building, putting some siding up or something. But you could see the whole layout, you know. The Lord just told me Windy Bay, so we thought we'll drive through and see what the Lord has for us. And all he was trying to do is show me that Lord there, that's his empire. That's that Windy Bay empire. And that's his kingdom. That's the only kingdom. If he continues down that road, and that's his kingdom. These other, I call them kingdoms. And that's what I took away from. Lord was trying to show me something.
I often wonder what goes through these preachers' head when they drive into their colonies, you know. What really goes through their heads? Like, does it go like through their heads, this is my kingdom, you know? Like, you know, that's the natural way of thinking, you know. If you would be head over that place, you know, you would really think you are the one that is in charge of everything. And when you would drive in there, you would think, yeah, this is my domain here.
It's everything up to snuff. Oh, gravel and the buildings are beyond. Oh, you can't even imagine how everything is. Like done right, and behind it there's work, there's people working, but behind all that there's a mind there. And like you say, just like Nebuchadnezzar one day, he got up on the podium and he stepped up on the porch up high up and looked over Babylon, and then it's the city that I built, you know what I'm saying?
That's
the same attitude, you know? And that Lawrence, I got a lot of respect for the man. He did my sister's funeral, and the thing of it is, he had a wonderful message there. If anybody can preach a message like that, he must have salvation. But just because he has salvation, That doesn't mean that you're going to make it into the rapture, mm-hmm. you know. The only thing where you can make it into it, well, you got to believe the message for your day, and he does not believe. And anyway, if he does believe, I don't know if he believes that God sent the prophet. See, he, like the way he was preaching, he could swear that he's going to go to heaven because he had a wonderful salvation message. But then when you go down there and you look, where's his heart at? His heart is on that kingdom down there. And when the Lord will come and the rapture, he's going to be still putting siding on that building because that's where his heart is at. Regardless of a good sermon he had, a good preaching he had, and his heart might be right, but he's not going to be going in that rapture at the present state. The only people that go in that rapture is the people that are ready, the mm-hmm. people that have on that wedding garment. The wedding garment is the message for your day. And I don't believe that he believes anything that we say or do, anything about God sent a prophet and an apostle. They're completely alienated from that kind of a dimension, if you know what I'm trying to say.
Well, and you have to realize, too, that when you believe the message for your day and hour, it is like it says, take up your cross and follow me. You know, you take up your cross and you follow where Jesus leads you. You know, that's what happened to me. I couldn't stay on a colony and live that lifestyle and expect to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to take up my cross and follow Jesus.
Just that simple. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah. So I kind of thought we'll talk about that a bit today because it's current. It's daily bread. It's something mm-hmm. that the Lord showed me currently. And it's for somebody out there that they want to walk with the Lord someday. Well, you don't want to go through life and miss it all, you know, mm-hmm. and come out at the other end. Like I tell you about that woman here from Sunnyside, he's 2 weeks from dying and he's lamenting and crying the blues. Well, he was given a chance time and time again. There's things people can do. They can decide one day, like you and I did. I want to follow Jesus. I'm tired of this world. This other thing is nothing but deception and all that. And then you decide, well, I'm going to follow Jesus no matter what it costs. And just something that you and I did. That's why we were sitting here discussing, hello, why are we putting in the outs? And then look in with that song, She's Shining from Ours and Schlechtest and Lighted. That's what you and I have. Well, you got to put yourself in their shoes. That's the way they look at us, like we're really wicked people. And that just automatically comes into their mind, and there's nothing you can do to change it because that's the nature of the beast. That's the way natural people think. They think naturally, just that simple. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this another day of life and for the many things you do for us, Lord. We give you thanks that you've allowed us to be found as worthy to suffer for your sake and for the gospel and for the gospel of truth, Lord. And you've given us the truth to fight for here in these closing days of time to stand up for the things that you put on our heart, Lord. We just pray you'll give us grace to continue on this journey. Use us for your honor, for your glory, Lord. We don't have nothing. We couldn't even and the hour we're living in, we're going to come up with nothing, Lord. But you give us food from day to day, Lord, and you allow us spiritual food and allow us to have something to talk about, Lord, and you give us insight into the Scripture, Lord. There's so many things that we're grateful for, Lord, because we're grateful that we don't have to go through life without even knowing nothing about salvation or about your glorious truth, Lord. We just the fact that you sent a prophet here in these closing days of time, Lord. We give you thanks that you brought us through this route, Lord. We just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
There's so much that people miss, you know. They miss the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Look at that, you and I. I can't wait to get up in the morning just to see what the Lord has for us. Sometimes he'll show up and like I say, the other day, I got up and the first thing, Windy Bay, came to mind. Well, like I said, we discussed it and we decided we'll go down there and see what the Lord has. Well, allow me to see it. That Lawrence's kingdom. And that, I don't know if there's anybody amongst these Hutterite preachers that can have a better salvation message than that Lawrence did at my sister's funeral. And at least I've never heard anybody. And but see, but the Lord has sent me down there. Like I say, I thought we'd be able to visit with that Jack, that guy in the wheelchair. But then we just drove around, and the only thing that stuck with me, that Lord, he was so taken up with building that kingdom, and you couldn't get inside. He was so into it, you know. Then I drove out, and everything up to snuff, everything out the door, everything clean and everything good, and it's a kingdom, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. The colonies, their kingdoms, the Lord's his kingdom, and these people there. And then we drove over to that Windy Bay, the same thing, man, Valley View. From Windy Bay went to Valley View, and oh, man, the verandas they got in the back doors, and oh, yikes, the trail around there, that's that Levi's kingdom, just that simple. That's the kingdoms of this world, no matter whether it's Babylon, or no matter whether it's Valley View Colony, or that's in their mind when they drive in, like it was said, when they come home and they drive in, that's the kingdom, that's my kingdom, you know what I'm saying? And it's all deception. See, for you and I, it's easy to see, because these things don't attract us. We just have a simple home here, and have a simple mission and a simple truth, and we're just trying to put it out there and do what the Lord wants us to do and talk about things the Lord wants us to say and expose the unfruitful works of God and put everything out there the way it needs to be put out there. Mm-hmm. If you and I don't do it, it's not going to get done, because nobody knows about it. Nobody knows about the hour we're living in, because all our lives we have sought this, like these people that Lawrence and his parents and that Ernie, that boss there, and that's their whole makeup. That's what they exhausted all their avenue into doing, is run that place and do it to the best of their ability. And all it is, at the end of the day, it's nothing. It's just a waste of time, and it's all about deception. And you, like I say, then you go to the Valley View Colony, and it's the same thing. It's just a physical kingdom, a little kingdom that they're building. And for you and I, this world is not our home. That's I couldn't live in all that luxury and all that wealth. I'm just being honest, and that's why that's the way we look at things. And I would rather have what you and I have. I would rather be in the outs with everybody and have the Lord. It's what the Lord thinks about us. That's what matters. And he says, don't think it's strange when these things happen when you put in the out, because they did it back to Jesus, they did it to the apostles, and they got a glorious future. That's what you and I are living for. We don't care what people think about us. And like I say, the first thing when they see it, you can see it in the story, you can see it when they see it, their mind goes right into the gutter, because they're natural. Human being, they're natural beings, brute beings. They think naturally, and of course, they'll think that we're shaking up and all that, because they don't know anything else. That's they don't right. know that two people can live together, because we fit the bill. Jesus said, when the disciples asked Jesus, we left everything, and what's going to be our lot in life? And he told them, you that have left everything, and that's what we did, and that's what I did. I stood up for truth, and we lived. Before you know it, I was put in the outs, because I simply told these people the truth, and then they put you in the outs, and then I was one of those people, no man having left father, mother, wife, children, home, for my sake, and the gospel, he will again get it back a hundredfold here in this time. Brothers and sisters, brothers and mothers, and lanes, and everything in the house, you get it back, and that's exactly what the Lord did to us. He gave us each other, and that's the only thing that we're interested in. At least we got each other, and then we give us his home here, and then he gives us a car, and he gives us a job, and he's done everything. We fit the bill, and we got that scripture hanging right over our head. No man having left father, mother, wife, children, homes, for my sake and the gospel's, he is going to get it back again here in time, and the world to come, eternal life. See? That's how you got to look at things. You got to look at reality. And we're just trying to get people excited about the journey that you and I are on. It's not a for the flesh, it's not a very good journey. But and for people, when people look at you, put you in the outs and everything. But that's all good and well, because Peter went through the same thing. He said, "Don't think it's strange when these fiery darts come upon you, when these people do that to you." And these are godly people, like I say. These are the right people. They're godly people, but they're not godly in Christ Jesus. You know, it's a different thing. Those that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you and I are at, and that's something that the Lord allowed me to see here the other day. First, He gave me that song, "Scheinen von außen die schlechtesten Leute, ein Schauspiel der Engel, ein Eckel der Welt." That's how God looks at us, and then how the world looks at us, it actually is. Just take these guys out to the dump. They take to the town dump. They don't rate, because they don't fit into this world pattern. And that's just the way it is. And
mm-hmm.
Just simple. That's what we got to... we really don't care what people say, do, or think.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the Lord thinks about us. That's what matters.
Yeah, I was reading something yesterday in Luke. I'm going to read it over, and it kind of tells you the whole picture of things, how the reaction of people naturally, and just because when you, like that song says, a spectacle of angels and a disgust to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are born again and you walk in the Spirit, and then you're in a different realm of things, and to the world they look upon you as in disgust. But anyway, it says here in Luke 20, verse 9, Jesus had a parable here, and He said, "A man planted a vineyard, leased it to tenant farmers, and went on a journey for a long time. When harvest time came, he sent a servant to the tenants so that they would give him his portion of the crop. However, the tenants beat his servant and sent him away empty-handed. So he sent another servant. They beat this one too, treated him outrageously, and sent him away empty-handed. So he sent still a third. They even wounded this one and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, 'What should I do? I will send my own dear son. Perhaps they will respect him.' But when the tenants saw him, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Let's kill him, so the inheritance will be ours.' So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and destroy those tenants and give them the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, 'May this never happen.'" Like, they were astonished at this story here. And they said, "God forbid, may this never happen." But Jesus looked straight at them and said, "Then what is the meaning of which is written, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone'? Everyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and the one on whom it falls will be crushed." So you can see what happens with people that are carnal-minded. When somebody comes along and tells them the truth, you know, they're hated for it. And like these tenants here, they killed the servants that God sent. And you can see in the Old Testament how they killed the prophets. And then God said, He's going to send His own son. And then they realized, this is the heir. This is the one who's going to inherit this. We're going to kill him, and then the inheritance will fall on us.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's how people think. They just think, how can they, they think they can take the kingdom by force, you know, and they try to. That's what they did here too, thinking that they can take the heir's inheritance. And then they killed Jesus, but in the same token, they signed their own doom, because it's the cornerstone became the head of the building, you know. And then you can see that a lot of people That parable still runs through to form.
Amen.
With every generation, there is somebody that God sends, and then people don't accept him. They reject him, and they want to kill him and take the inheritance, but it doesn't work that way. When God has created you for something, it's going to be your inheritance. And people think naturally and carnally they can do it, but it's not. It's not how it works. And they're the one who get destroyed in the end when they come up against that cornerstone. Like it says, they will be ground to powder.
See, our kingdom is not of this world. We really don't. We're content with what we got because what we're living for, we're living for the millennium kingdom. Mm-hmm. That's all our, I like it to say it. There's no greater joy for me to get up in the morning and hear from the Lord. It doesn't happen every day, but when it does, I embrace it with a passion. I follow through with it, and it's usually a home run. That's all we live for. Lord, let me do thy will here in this time so that we'll have something when we come over there. And like you were saying, these people, they think they're doing God a service when they put us out of the outs and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's to their demise because, like I say, the kingdom, that's their kingdom. These colonies, that's preacher's kingdom. And they felt, when I was in there, they felt challenged by me. And at the end of the day, you got till sundown to get out of here because I was ruffling their feathers. I was kind of making their bed uncomfortable by telling them the truth. You tell them the truth, and they don't like to hear the truth. They like to live in this delusion that other, I think, is the way to happen. But it's not. We're just exposing it for what it is, and then let the chips fall where they may. They put us in the out if you want. But because at the end of the day, when we come back with Jesus Christ, just like it says in that parable, you that have left all these things for my sake and the gospel, that's what we did. We did it for the sake of truth.
Mm-hmm.
We told them the truth, and then you're ousted, and then somewhere along the road alive, here comes a rapture. I don't know when the rapture will be, but it'll be soon and very soon. And then we come back, and then when we come back with them, we come back to rule and reign, to take over the kingdoms of our the kingdoms of this world will then become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Right now, here, everything here in life is temporary. We're just down here to make sure that we make it through the jungle and that we come out of the other side smelling like a rose and have a reward for eternity. And then we come back on a planet where there's no more Satan. See, Satan is the prince of this planet. Ever said for the And he's only given 6,000 years. And like I say, 6,000 years run out. And sometime in 2028, because we told you time and time again, at midnight there was a cry. And if you don't have the revelation of that midnight cry, you're just groping around in the dark. But the Lord, rich in mercy, has given you and I that exactly the time frame when we're living at midnight there was a cry, and then through the ministry of that angel, through the lips of Brother Brenham and Brother Jackson, we found out that the 1963 February 28th, there was that midnight, the midnight of Laodicea, and in 1906 it began, and any great tree kick can do the math, can do the calculation, then it comes to exactly 2021, because he had 57 years to 64, you come to 2021, and then we got the Yom Kippur, and all that, we tied it all together with these feasts and everything, and we come exactly right to the day, October the 15th, 2021, and then from there it's 7 years, and that's the end of Satan's reign. Because Satan has been given 6 days, 6,000 years to do his dastardly thing, and then once his 6,000 years are right to the day, you can set your clock on it and mark it on your calendar right to the day. 7 years after October the 15th, 2021, that's when that angel will be coming down. You probably won't see it because people are taken up with the carnality and all they see is carnal. But people that walk in the Spirit, they're going to notice Satan is being tied up and he's being thrown into hell, and then there's no more Satan here on planet Earth. Then
mm-hmm.
Jesus comes down, and like we keep saying, for 30 days, it's the day the Lord is on, where the planet will rock to and fro like a drunk man, and then And then there's 45 days where separate of the goats and the sheep, and then Jesus sets up his millennial reign. And then those that are found worthy to go into the age of regeneration, it's all backed up with scripture, as Jesus was asked. And then he told them, those people that will be found worthy to go into that millennial reign, they will live for 1,000 years and rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Not everybody will be found worthy. People that have put their hearts and their mind on material things, they're just not going to be able to go in there because they got different ideas, they got different God. They have not submitted their whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of things that I don't know how that is going to go about with the sheep and the goats, but he's going to separate the sheep and the goats. He's going to separate these people that do good, like I was thinking about back in the days of Cain and Abel. God knew that Cain didn't have had it in his DNA. See, Abel had it in his DNA what kind of a sacrifice to bring to the Lord, and Cain didn't. But God knew that Cain didn't have it. So he just told Cain, Cain, if you do good, you'll be accepted. Just don't go meditating and daydreaming how are you gonna kill your brother. Just do good, and then I will accept you if you can only get yourself to a place where you can do good. And I was thinking about that we keep bringing up that carrot. All he would have had to do what the Lord told him. He's given them exactly the same advice he gave Cain. Cain, just do good. Don't go meditating about how you're going to kill your brother now. And then if you do good, I'm going to accept you regardless if you bring me a good sacrifice or not, because he knew he didn't have it in his DNA. And that's the same thing with that carrot. God knew he didn't have it. They did his DNA because he didn't have the genetics to do anything good. All he got to simply do for the rest of you, go stand with Sam, and then I'm gonna accept you. But he does the opposite thing. He can't wait till to slander me, and then he makes it look like we're the bad people, and completely at 180 degrees.
These people kind of have a charisma about them to make people feel sorry for them and bad for them, that when you say something about him, that they think we're the bad guys. We're the ones, but we're just telling the truth.
Amen.
And then the people can't seem to handle that because we say it as it is, but it's the truth. Like, some people do not have the capacity that other people have. And he's one of those people that pretends that he does. He can make it so that he really is has the same capacity as the one that has 10 talents. But it's not how it works. If you're faithful in that one talent that God gives you, then you will be rewarded accordingly. You're not going to reward it for the person that has 10 talents and has gained his 10 talents. You're going to be found unworthy because you didn't do what God wanted for you to do.
He got to expect you to get 10 talents when he never did give you anything. The capacity, God knew he doesn't have the capacity. We're just talking about it. We're bringing him in everything in today's language so people can look at it at face value, can just do good, and he will be accepted. Don't go out and go look for problems, look for garbage about Sam. Just completely just give yourself it and just go sing with him. That's the only capacity that you have on planet Earth. That's the only job description you have. Just go stand with Sam and I'll accept you. But what does he do? He does the opposite, and now he's out there just laying on the couch, ready to die, and nothing you and I can do like that guy want me to go down and pray for him. Well, how would I go? Why would I go to pray for, go down and pray for first that has determined, bound and determined that he's going to work against me? And then, like I tell you about my father-in-law, I every morning I'd get up, Lord, is there anything you want me to pray for? Is there anything you want me to say to him? Spiritually speaking. And then I guess the Lord got fed up with me and bugging him all the time about it. And he finally came on the scene and he let me know, Sam, if I heal him, your father-in-law would do the same thing he's been doing all his life, just making it hard for Christians. And heal him. He'll do the same thing all over again. And the same with that Ken. If the Lord would heal him, he will not be able to wait till he can stab us in the back again and do exactly what he did before. Because God gave him a job description. God gave and reached out another wrench to him and told him what he needs to do. He knew that family doesn't have the capacity to have 10 talents. He's all just required one little thing of him. Just go and stand with him. And same with that Jeremy. He knew that Jeremy was born in sin. He was so wicked and so demonic. And he required from that Jeremy, go back and tell the people where you come out the wonderful things the Lord did for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that legion. That legion wanted to follow Jesus back in the Bible, by the Gadarenians. And the Lord said, no, you stay here and you tell the people the wonderful things the Lord did for you. And then the Gadarenians did chase Jesus away from there, told them to leave their county. And then that lone individual that the Lord cast his demons out, he went and he converted told that whole 10 counties, it says there in the Bible. And then next year, Jesus came back and they rolled out the red carpet for him because that one lone individual went out there and he told the people that Jesus is the man.
Mm-hmm.
And he healed them and he cast these demons out, like I say. And then next year he came back, you can go read it, right? And they rolled out the red carpet for him and he healed their sick and he did wonderful, marvelous things. The same thing would have happened here if these people would have fallen through with what the Lord told him to do. The same thing would have happened. God would have healed their sick and their afflicted, and he would have done the same thing he did back then, because it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But see, we're living in a different time frame. We're living where everything Satan has somehow engineered everything that the faith of this world will be taken away. There's hardly any faith. It's just like Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, do you think you'll find faith on earth? See, people don't have any faith anymore. And then we read it over in the book of Israel, faith will be taken from this world. That's the problem with mankind. And all we're doing, we're just putting out the truth here on a day-to-day basis so that maybe somewhere along the road of life, somebody might be able to get it. In the meantime, we just got to do what we got to do. It's just that simple.
That's right. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just want to come before you and we're grateful, Lord, for everything you've done for us, Lord. We just pray that you'll give us the grace to continue on this journey, Lord, and be found faithful to the end, Lord. But we just want to put out these truths, Lord, and so people can analyze and look at their lives, Lord, and what they sell out their souls to, Lord. What we've decided one day to follow Jesus, Lord, and like it says, take up your cross and follow me. And a lot of people, Lord, they just don't want to take up that cross and follow Jesus because they want to be identified with the things of this world, Lord. But there is a price to pay for everything. It doesn't come on a bed of ease, Lord. So we just want to present all these things, Lord, and we just give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.